All right, good afternoon.
Spiegel & Company.
We're Spiegs.
I'm right here.
Afternoons on The Score.
It's the great Ruthie Polinsky back on 670 The Score. What up? You excited to be back?
We are so back. I love it here.
This is a run-heavy offensive coordinator usually with a bunch of tight ends, and we did not see that very
often.
Let's
get Big Dog in there.
You ready, Big Dog?
Yeah, man, let's get this thing rolling.
I'm serious, man.
Big Dog,
You love that guy as much as we do?
Oh, I love that man.
Tell us why, Mercedes Lewis. Tell us why.
Big Dog. I mean, come on.
Let that be a lesson to you boys and girls. Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Actually, now that I think about it, there's actually a deeper emotional connection to me for that nickname, because when I was little, the nurse in the delivery room when I was born gave me a stuffed animal dog that I carried with me around forever, and I called it Big Dog. And then when I started walking, I was dragging this dog around with me everywhere. So my mom got me the same version of the stuffed animal in a smaller version. So I had Big Dog and Little Dog. And then I would bring Little Dog with me when we would travel and things, and Little Dog got taken up in the sheets by housekeeping when we were at Disney World when I was seven.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Devastating. But so I still have Big Dog.
Big Dog, you good?
I still have Big Doggy.
So tomorrow,
we're bringing Big Dog.
Can you bring Big Dog in tomorrow?
Yeah, remind me, I'll bring him.
Oh,
he's in the guest room. I don't sleep with him anymore. I have a husband now.
There are two things about dog that everybody knows, okay? I am clean and I am fair.
Psych.
Anyways, I love Mercedes Lewis.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die.
How much for the fluffy?
He's so fluffy.
Spiegel & Company.
Nobody get that phone. We got company.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome in. Big Dog is here. Oh, hell yeah. It is indeed Spiegel & Company. Yeah, that's what we're calling it these days. Ruthie Polinsky today. In general, of course, we hope to announce a full-on afternoon show for the rest of our time together at some point soon. But until then, it has been and will continue to be Spiegel & Company. And now with Ruthie Polinsky and the Big Dog. I'm so glad to get to hang out with Big Dog and get to know him a little bit. Anything I need to know in terms of care or decorum? Does he get upset if I make loud noises? Anything like that?
Listen, he's really chill, as you can see. Doesn't do much. But he is just along for the ride, and he brings the vibes, and he's got a nice bow tie. I've always loved the bow tie.
Can you hold up the bow tie for the camera?
Yeah, there's a little...
You're right. He doesn't do much. His activity level is extremely low, and it should be noted, but the bow tie is gorgeous. Is that the original bow tie?
Yeah.
That's a 31...
This is all original. There's been no work... 31 years. Almost 32, actually.
I thought maybe that the Big Dog would have needed a wardrobe change at some point. He's been through a lot. He's been around.
You know, he prefers to be naked other than the bow tie. But you can
so
see
does
here,
Mercedes
like...
Lewis, ironically enough.
But there's this tag here that you can see has been frayed.
The tag has been through better days.
But it's a durable stuffed animal. So that's why I have really good feelings that Little Dog is still living his best life.
Understood.
Just with another home.
Yeah. So can I touch Big Dog?
Of course.
Oh, I don't know. It's a very personal question. So... Big Dog is, he's in good shape. He really is. Has he been through the washer? Have you washed Big Dog? Is that too personal?
Yes, I have before. last time I've done that, he'll maybe get a little shower after today coming out into the real world.
Oh, yeah.
Out in these streets.
Oh, my God. There's all kinds of bacteria here.
Right. Well, he's not in my bed anymore. Let's just remember.
Sure.
But
oh, right.
You know, he's just kind
but there's,
of
there's
decor.
Bacteria out here, and Dan Bernstein was just here. Right. I would definitely wash that thing.
Going in the wash, taking a shower tonight.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. We are outside. If you want to walk over and say hello, you can do that. If you want to see what this show looks like, if you want to admire Big Dog up close, to a point, Shane Reardon will work our security. Shane, if anybody gets too close to Big Dog, you have our permission to take care of them.
I mean, Willie did it to you already. I think she's probably going to do it.
Yes, Willie is here, too. We'll get to that. Shane's dog is here. Shane Herbstreet is our producer this afternoon. We are here at the Pru, and the Pru is a beautiful building where we like to work. It is really cool. This was once, by the way, the tallest building in Chicago, the smaller one of Pru 1. And now we are in Pru 2, which is taller and newer. Funny like that. But we're broadcasting live from Lake Street Plaza at the Prue, a park with an abundance of outdoor seating, a fountain, beautiful greenery open to the public. There's this line of Adirondack chairs behind here. That's my sneaky little lunch spot. Don't tell anybody about that. Mm-hmm. For more information on Prue and what's happening here in the near future, visit theprulife.com or follow their Instagram at theprulife. So yeah, Yumi and Big Dog, just freaking awesome. And we're going to talk about Willie and Shane Herbstreit a little bit later on as well. We got a lot going on, though, in terms of this radio show. Jarrett Payton will make his first appearance of the football season with us.
I'm so excited. I've never met Jarrett.
Really?
Never in person, obviously, working at NBC5.
I was going to say.
WGN, kind of.
TV rivals.
Yeah, it's like Anchorman.
Seriously.
Fisticuffs.
Did you bring a trident? We could get you a spare trident.
No, I'm really excited to meet Jarrett. I mean, what a great just... life story, man.
Unbelievable.
Sports anchor. And I'm really close with Caitlin Sharkey, so who speaks nothing but glorious things about working with Jarrett.
That's good. The shark. Jarrett is the kind of guy you will ask some random question. By God, that's Caitlin Sharkey's music.
I love it.
You ask Jarrett Payton a question, you might end up hearing his story about his dad coming to his middle school to pick him up and take him to go golf with President George Bush. You know?
Like crazy.
This ridiculous life that man has led. So we'll talk to Jarrett later on. And he had another chapter to that on stage with Eddie Vedder at Wrigley Field.
Crazy.
I got to ask him
how
all about
cool.
that. It's got to be unbelievable. We will talk to Mark Grody a little bit later on with the very latest from Bears practice and Bears talkers. And your friend and mine, Dave Wanstead, will be here. How early in the 5 o'clock hour when Wani is sitting right here in between us, how early in that segment do we throw his Notre Dame is going to go into undefeated stuff from last weekend?
I think it's got to be off the top.
I mean, knowing Tanny, it's probably in the open.
Right.
One would assume.
You have to wait and see, but that's a pretty good guess.
I'm very excited. What do you think Wani is going to be like around Big Dog?
Oh, that's a good question. Wani is avuncular.
What about Ronnie? What's Ronnie going to say?
Ronnie is not going to be here. He's one of the Chicago people who was around Matas Buzelis yesterday in my favorite moment of the show. I got to say, that was my favorite moment of the show, not because we were able to randomly riff on Paul George's assignment of, quote, Chicago people, unquote, but because it derailed you in the middle of a story, Ruthie, and you got a taste for what it's actually like.
It's the best.
When the radio show
It was a good test. I'm learning. I'm
completely off the rails. Thoroughly off the rails we were at the moment. All right, but I mentioned this. I mentioned that Kurt Warner on Monday talked about the pure progression system of a quarterback learning where they're assigned targets, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in the progression, and their job is to read them across the field when they go back in the pocket and decide which one to throw to. And it requires a lot of resetting the feet if they get to, you know, progression number 3. And it requires their ability to read the progressions to begin with. But it can be what Kurt thought was a very daunting task. Then the midday guys asked their quarterback guy, Tim Jenkins, about it. And he said, well, it needs to be a mix of both. And really, some people are good at it. And then yesterday, you and I had a conversation where we decided to further the research on this, correct?
We did.
I talked to somebody in Indy who said that Shane Steichen has taught Anthony Richardson the pure progression system, but Richardson's really good at it. And he gives him some little things that he can do to skip to, like, read number 3. As you're looking pre-snap, he said Richardson can go up to the center and know, I'm just going to go to read number 3 as my number 1 read. Mm-hmm. So there was that. We learned in San Francisco, it's not pure progression. It's more of what C.J. Stroud does in Houston, which is why it's a good week to talk about it, because Bobby Slowick Jr. learned from Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco and is now teaching it to C.J. Stroud. Seems to be working very well there. And you connected the idea of quarterback friendliness.
Right,
with that.
Which I think is not really always what people are referring to when they're talking about a quarterback friendly system. But perhaps that's part of it that, you know, us commoners aren't really realizing in the moment.
Right. And then you reached out to Atlanta.
I did.
Did you get an answer from Atlanta?
I did.
Okay. Because you reached out to Atlanta where you knew somebody on the coaching staff, and they've got Michael Penix Jr. that they're working with.
So it was the answer was not exactly – I don't think they want to share everything.
I got you. Yeah. Well, your sources are better than mine.
Well, it was kind of like – Here's what he said. We're telling the quarterback where to start his eyes based on what the defense is giving to him, but it's up to him to identify the coverage and adjust accordingly. He's a lot more mature than Tua was at this point in his career.
Wow.
So he's doing a good job of progressing through his reads.
That's Michael Penix Jr. they're talking about. It makes sense that Michael Penix Jr. would be more mature than Tua because Penix is a lot older, had some hurt years where all he did was watch.
Right. Right. He said he was going to watch the clip from Kurt Warner, and maybe I didn't do a great job of it kind of explaining, you know, what we were getting there, but that's something.
No, that's definitely something. Yeah. That's interesting. So anyway, we communicated it with Mark Grody, and today up at Hallis Hall, when offensive coordinator Shane Waldron addressed the media, and we'll play other stuff from Shane Waldron later on, Mark Grody was able to ask the question and further the conversation.
Kurt Warner talked about this week about the, I'm not sure if this right, the pure progression style of quarterback play. And he said how it can be hard for young quarterbacks to execute. So what are your thoughts on that, and as opposed to other styles of teaching?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a different mix and match of pure progressions, and then there's also coverage-based reads. And then within different systems and different plays, you're gonna have the ability to do both, whether it's a pure progression play that you know you can cancel out certain areas of that progression based on a pre-snap read. And I think, for us, I think, the statement for the different quarterbacks, I can only speak of the experiences that I've had. You know, each quarterback has had, different feels for certain plays and different ways that they look through it. Some guys have loved pure progressions. Other guys would want to go coverage base first. And I think, for us, starting with some progression reads, but also mixing and matching. So it's not it's a tough one to say it's a one size fits all. I think we have good skill players. We have good tight ends, good running backs, good receivers. And so for us, it's about whether it's a play that's a progression based play or a coverage based play, clean eyes, clean feet, and then all 11, being where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be. That's a starting point for us. And it's something that we're working to improve each week.
Man.
I love it.
I think that's such a genuine answer. And hopefully the people who were listening on Monday when me and Pat Manley were talking to Kurt Warner and were texting in saying, oh my God, I got so much smarter. And you were listening to Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
You were in the what aisle? Yeah. What aisle in the grocery store?
Pasta aisle.
Okay. You were deciding
stop
on
dead in my tracks.
Fusilli or penne in the pasta aisle. But hopefully... Does that further the conversation?
100%. And I also love hearing that from Shane Waldron because I learned something there. Like, thank you for actually explaining to us when we're asking questions that's not giving anything away, but we're just trying to learn about kind of what's happening in the quarterback room. And I feel like we really gathered some information there based on, the mix of what they're teaching. And it's interesting to hear him say that each play could be different based on the coverage.
Yes. So they're teaching some pure progression, some coverage-based.
Yeah.
Was his shorthand of saying it, right?
Yeah.
Coverage-based.
Yeah. And I loved the part where he said you can cancel out progressions based on a pre-snap read, which is like what you learned from Richardson.
Exactly. That is exactly what we learned from Indy, that the quarterback, once he's good enough at it, can learn from a pre-snap read to go ahead and skip one and two.
So cool.
And know that three or four is where he should look. Isn't that cool?
You know what this conversation really is putting into perspective for me? Like, sometimes you just forget how hard it is to be a quarterback. Like, you have to be so smart, and your brain has to be wired in such a way to be able to process this information in split seconds. And I just sometimes forget that we lose sight of that, feel like we lose sight of how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just this conversation and this research project is just a good reminder of, Joe Schmo yelling at the quarterback, sitting on his couch with Cheeto fingers, is mad that his quarterback missed a read. Like, it's hard.
My God. Now you've pissed off all the Joe Schmoes.
Brads and Chads.
You've pissed off Joe Schmo and Brads and Chads. Those are our people, Ruthie.
Listen,
be careful.
Love the
don't
Brads and
don't
Chads.
Start a media kerfuffle. All right. Don't do that. We've got enough of those going on. No, look. It is hard. It is hard. And NFL scouts and GMs are terrible at it.
Right.
Like, they're horrendous at picking the quarterbacks. And they're like, maybe, or at least they're horrendous at picking one and then putting them with the right teacher and then having them develop. And so we're learning about all this stuff along the way. So, yes, how difficult it is, the tie-in to what we heard about Richardson being able to cut some stuff off before the snap, and the fact that Waldron has now told us, which I think we sort of knew, but now we know for sure, he can coach different ways. Mm-hmm. He can coach pure progression. He can coach coverage-based stuff. Everything has an out in it, possibly, to look for the specific talent, depending on certain reads or things like that. But pressure's on Shane Waldron big time.
Right.
Right now, this week, certainly this month and all year, to now adjust. Get to know your quarterback. Get to know what he's good at. Get to know what he struggles at. And learn your identity as an offense. I thought Brad Biggs wrote a great column this morning with Cole Kmet talking about it. Mullian Hoff furthering that conversation when they had their Biggs time this morning, which we always listen to, even though I'm still blocked by Brad Biggs on Twitter. Is the show blocked now that I'm using that account? No. Oh, no, it is, right? Yeah. Yeah, so I never know what he says unless somebody sends it to me. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's a big aside, Ruthie, a giant aside. Look, a big dog takeover. All right, I've just...
Big dog's here.
But anyway, they further the conversation. Bears have to figure out what they do well, yeah. And that means the personnel groupings. It means all sorts of stuff for this week. Pressure's on, Shane.
And guess what? While they're figuring it out on offense, and while you're trying to learn what your quarterback does well and what he doesn't do well...
Yeah.
You got a really good defense, and you got a really good special teams to buy you some time. And I think that's like what's really encouraging about this team is that while they're figuring out their identity on offense, which could take a couple of weeks,
yeah,
we hope it doesn't, but it could, you have a good team around. And that's what makes this – that's, I think, what is fueling the excitement around kind of a bounce-back week two, but also you know you can rely on other parts of this team.
Yeah, no, you can. And this might have to be a week where you do, as right. You are still figuring things out. Man, they shut down and they moved away. They were here for lunch. Gail's best grilled cheese ever.
Man.
Stand. You missed your chance.
It says world's greatest, or what is it?
I think it was best grilled cheese ever is what it said. I got two of them. I got one for Christine. Got one for the wife. She dropped me off. I sent it. She had a grilled cheese and bacon.
Shane.
I got the Italian.
Go get me one before they leave.
Ruthie, I don't see the truck.
They're gone?
They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're over in block 37. It's not that far.
Shane, go for a walk.
Jesus Christ.
I mean,
I'll go get you a grilled cheese if you want.
No. Maybe.
I mean, you're a host now. You're big time.
No.
You want to tell Shane
to
go get something.
I'm getting excited. I can't. Listen, I'm getting a little cocky in this chair.
Yeah, you are.
Hold on. Let me just tell you that I love a headset. And when we do stuff on TV, too, like when we're out in the set, I love a headset. It's very Britney Spears vibes. And I just love to.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, like. Yeah, so, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
I got you. So are there other dance routines that go along with that or just singing certain videos you want to replicate when the spirit moves?
I don't think that's for our audience wants to hear that.
I don't know. We could certainly poll them. And we are visible on Twitch. You can see Big Dog. And you can
Big
see,
Dog's here.
You can see Ruthie being tempted to
is
channel
this?
Christina Aguilera.
Hold on. What is
These
this?
These are ice cream sandwiches that just came our way.
Even
oh
better.
Oh, God.
Wait, are you serious?
See?
Black raspberry chip, vanilla, Mediterranean sea salt caramel, chocolate chip ice cream sandwich.
Oh, my God. Thank you to Capinari
ice cream.
Yeah, it's just
Thank
that easy.
Thank you so much.
Just that easy to get
so
a mention.
Nice.
Just that easy to get a mention right here on the score. Yeah, that's incredible. Because I got to say, we tried the best grilled cheese ever, and the problem was it was really good. I don't have every grilled cheese in the world
right.
handy to compare it to.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I can rank it very high on the grilled cheeses I've ever had. But best one ever, that's a bold,
that's,
bold statement.
Listen, you got a lot of, yeah.
I can make balls, you I can make you a better grilled cheese tomorrow. tomorrow, not even close.
World's greatest.
It was really good, though. And you don't have a grilled cheese stand.
Doesn't matter. I'll bring one out here tomorrow.
You're never out here with ovens. You're never out here on the Pru Plaza with ovens.
I'll make you grilled cheese tomorrow.
All right, deal. I'm in. Who am I hosting with tomorrow? On Spigot
Company. David Haw
doing a double. Spigot Company is the name of the show.
Spigot Company.
That's right. Both of us. All of us.
That's so fun. Haw's going to do the morning and this show?
He is. He's doing a double.
Wow.
He's crazy like that. So I get David Haw tomorrow. That's a delight. When we come back, I had to make a pick for the Scores website on the Bears and Texans game. What did I do? Ruthie doesn't have to make a pick, but she's got a feeling.
Unless you force me to.
She's got a feeling. We'll see if we can force her to by the end of the segment. And we'll do some Cubs anger at the top of the hour. It's 670 The Score. It's Spiegel & Company. We're going to have ice cream sandwiches.
Spiegel & Company. The Bears.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
That was me.
Not that was not Caleb.
No, that was me.
That
actually was good.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Love Tanny.
Let's bring it back.
I thought that was just a super high quality drop, and I like whoa.
That was okay. Love that by me.
Tanny, I think, is gonna level up on the hype music in efforts to get you to tap into your Britney Spears dreams, your right. Christina Aguilera dreams.
Listen, it doesn't take much to ask me to sing.
I mean, this is Fergie parts coming up for the Black Eyed Peas here. I don't know if that. Camille, do you do the anthem? Have you ever done the anthem?
Listen, I've never done the anthem, but like that's a really hard song to sing.
Oh, I know. It's my dream. It's my dream to do the anthem at a baseball game.
Wait,
I've never done it.
What are the Cubs doing?
I'm trying.
Okay.
I'd like to do it. Well, see, look at that. I got Ruthie Belinsky in my corner. You never know what might happen.
I want everyone to know that that ice cream was
amazing. And you, such an old radio pro already, here on day three with the newly minted Spiegel & Company.
Spiegel & Company! Spiegel & Company!
Brought in by Social Furniture! Although, I don't want to give Social Furniture the extra bonus. They don't deserve that. So we need a business name that we can put in there that syllabizes like that. So it's just kind of the same. We'll work on that. Thank you for your concern.
Yeah.
But it's good when you do it. What's the show called? Go ahead, you do it.
Spiegel & Company!
That's pretty good. So Ruthie's good at that, and she's good at eating ice cream sandwiches
in a commercial. Listen,
during a commercial break,
it doesn't take someone to be like. I have a lot of TV experience where you got to stuff your face in commercial breaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, football after show. Moment of silence for the
moment
football
of silence.
After show. Football after show was how long? 2 hours? Hour and a half?
90 minutes.
90 minutes. 90 minutes.
You
sometimes
if you're
have
coach,
to get a snack.
You just eat during the show, though.
Did want to eat during the show?
No, I don't know. No, but we would eat before the game, and it
sure.
Or during kind of that first quarter we'd order food, and
yeah.
It was always fun to watch those men just be animals with meals.
I'm
just
sure
watching those three.
All right, so look, I had to make my pick. I had to make my official pick on this Bears game, the Bears and Texans on Sunday night. Okay.
Yeah.
Because Ruthie, I'm not afraid to put my opinion out there. Okay. Not afraid to do what I got to do.
Takes guts.
Yeah, well. And it takes two emails from Cody Westerlund, our webmaster, who has to remind me every week that it's time for me to get my pick in. Mm-hmm. So as long as he emails me twice, which I'm sure he enjoys, then I will get my pick in. So anyway, I got my pick in, and I almost did it today, but I couldn't. I couldn't quite get there to pick the Bears in an upset. I did pick them. I could look. But I think I did 27-24 Texans. So I've got the Bears offense making strides forward, showing some progress.
Are they scoring any touchdowns?
Yeah. They're
on
scoring
offense.
Three touchdowns.
Okay.
Three offensive touchdowns.
Okay.
But Caleb Williams has a mistake. He has his first NFL mistake, which gives the Texans that extra possession that they need and some bonus points, and they win on a Sunday night thriller that we remember the rest of the year, 27-24.
Wow.
That was my prediction.
That
so
would
Texans
hurt, too.
By three.
That would hurt.
Would it, though? Would it? I mean, wouldn't
to
you
be that close?
Don't you think we're still at a moment where, and we can ask the texters at 312-644-6767, how would that feel?
Right.
I mean, if the offense takes strides forward and looks good, but Caleb has an NFL mistake, has an NFL classic rookie mistake, and Houston wins by three, does that one hurt on Monday or not? I don't know, because knowing where you are, if you're 1-1 and the league is saying, watch out, the Bears are coming, I think that feels pretty good on Monday.
That's a good point, and I like that. That's a very Ruthie spin on that. That's a positive spin. I think to be so close where it's like, may or may not come down to a field goal attempt and it's 3 points, or Houston kicks a field goal as time expires, like one of those like 3-point, like last minute, last second sort of type situations, that could hurt. I think if it's a game where the Bears, it's maybe the Texans pull away, the Bears make it close at the end, and it's, it just doesn't happen. That's that. But talking about, I was joking with you, Speaks, about the, are we going to score, are the Bears going to score any points on offense? It's going to be hard to score points on defense this week, I'll tell you that much, because CJ Stroud,
he doesn't turn it over.
Does not turn the ball over. He threw five interceptions in his rookie season?
I think it might have been four.
Was it?
Was it four?
Four.
I'll look right now. I got
five
you.
Or four. We're gonna check. Uh-huh. I mean that, but still, I mean that's just crazy, and I think it speaks to the level, you know, of play that C.J. Stroud had so early on in his career, but also the kind of person. But what you reminded me of, Speaks,
yeah,
is that Caleb Williams in his college career did not turn the ball over much either.
First of all, you're right. It's five interceptions.
Five interceptions. Was one in the playoffs?
Yeah, 23 touchdowns and just five interceptions for C.J. Stroud last year. But Caleb Williams, yes, five interceptions in each season at USC, only four interceptions at Oklahoma. That dude has never turned it over more than five times in a season via the interception. He's had fumbling troubles. And, you know, it holds the ball a long time in college, and there were some sack troubles and some fumbling troubles, but not with the interceptions. But anyway, yeah, looking at Stroud's numbers, you're reminded of just how efficient he is. That's some Aaron Rodgers type ish.
That's crazy. And I want to talk to Coach today when we talk to him later about the batted balls, because what is that? You know, where do the batted balls come from? Is that protection? Is that Caleb's size? Is that his technique? Is it there's a lot of questions I have about that from, you know, what you're calling as a defense to create the batted balls, but also what can Caleb do to help prevent it? Because he's not massive, but he's not tiny.
He's not tiny. It's not a it doesn't feel like it should be a short quarterback situation where he's got to learn to have the different arm angles or things like that. But you know, it's certainly plausible that he needs to adjust to better rushers and better players in his face, and NFL defensive linemen who are trained and schooled very well at getting their arms up, no matter where they
are. Of course.
So there's that. But hold on, you're stalling.
I am stalling.
Are you going to make a pick or
all
not?
Right. No, I'm not.
Why are you feeling
positive?
Hold on,
maybe by the end of the show. Yeah. I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling hopeful. The Texans haven't played on Sunday Night Football in 5 years. I believe that favors the Bears. And listen, I understand the Texans have played in a lot of big games. They played in the playoffs. They won at home in the playoffs. There is something special. And maybe this is just because I'm an NBC girly. But there is something special about Sunday Night Football and the bright lights and that fan base that is so excited about the future of their team and their quarterback. That's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere in Houston, I think, on Sunday, because they haven't been able to. But it's early in the season, and I think there's a lot of unknowns about the Bears offense still. And that's one thing that I think could be, when we spin this and look at this back in the season, like, the Bears didn't give much away in their first game about what they're going to do on offense, and it could look very different in week two.
Yes.
And
we are expecting adjustments.
We are expecting adjustments from Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams. And I think that the Texans and their lack of experience on Sunday Night Football could favor the Bears.
So this is a big moment. It's totally a big moment for Houston. You're right. First Sunday in 5 years, and it's a different kind of bright light. Last year they had the comfort of being that team that nobody expected to be any good.
Right.
And now the expectations are high. First home game, Sunday Night Football with the bright lights. The NFL is weird, right?
It's weird. It's weird. And weird things happen in primetime.
This league is pretty damn tight. What, 72% of the games last year in the fourth quarter were one-score games. It can be a thin margin sometimes. And it just, I think to you, it has that feeling of like one of those weird early season NFL games where things get flipped.
It does. And I think with a lot of the conversation having been, maybe Caleb wasn't nervous in his first start, but he was juiced. He was excited. He was making, you know, some throws that he wants to have back. That's gone. You're on the road. It's not your home crowd. No pressure. Like, you know, you're saying that maybe some Bears fans would say, hey, I'll take a close loss. There's progress. If I see progress, that's a win for a Bears fan, which doesn't really sound very Bears fanny to me, but I'll take it. There's no pressure on the Bears to win this game. You're 6-point underdogs. I mean, go out there, let it loose, Caleb. Be yourself. Take care of the football. Crazy things can happen. I almost cursed.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Almost.
Spiegs and Ruthie, texters getting in. Ruthie, you are the best. Love how well you vibe with the afternoon crew and that you bring the element of sports knowledge and professionalism that they need. That's another compliment that just takes a shot at us.
I didn't even ask
I
didn't even ask for the compliments.
No. The compliments are coming. But, yeah, they're saying that we're a bunch of children and that you're all of a sudden a professional adult.
No.
So whatever. But that's okay. But
if I fit well with you guys, then that's... That means I'm a child, too.
So, Texter says, you have already exalted Caleb as Mr. Generational. He cannot make that mistake you're talking about, not the way you talked about him for the last 6 months. Of course he can. Of course he can.
Of
course he will. This is the league. It is a difficult league. We're saving your texts, and we'll continue to take your reaction to this idea. Ruthie has not made a pick yet, but the pressure will be on all afternoon. We will talk to Jarrett Payton in the middle of the next hour. When we come back, some Cubs anger at a person that deserves it after last night. Keep it here on The Score.